Belinda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunk Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 27th of July. I am joined in the studio today by our security expert, I love saying that, our security expert, Richard Bell from Telintelligence.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. And our guest in the studio is the fabulous Tracy Ferguson, career coach.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome, Tracy. We are very excited for the show today. We have got a packed show for you. We've got so much information, so be prepared. Pens at the ready, information overload coming your way. We would like to start off by thanking this week's, and in fact this month's, show sponsors, which have been Clear Cut Venues, the fabulous Amy Nicholas from Clear Cut Venues, at Clear Cut Venues on the Twitter. She's been sponsoring the show. If you're looking for the perfect venue for your event, Amy will be able to help you and find it for you. We've have some interaction on the Twitter, so we're going to do some shout outs in a minute. So we do still want to hear from you guys, what you've been up to. You know what we don't want to hear? We don't want to hear moaning about the weather. We know it's hot, okay? Get over it. Moving on. But do let us know what you've been up to this week and what you've got coming up this weekend. Tweet us at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtra, BeBunker. And you can, as always, we had week before last our very first phone in on the show. I was very excited. But you can phone us if you've got an event you want to tell us about, or if you've got a question for Richard about security. Please do give us a call on 01233 220035. 01233 220035, and I'll try to watch for the phone buzzing. It was ringing earlier, actually, before the show, and I answered it, and it was a sales call. It would have been so funny if I did that live on air. Who pays your utility bills? Go away, leave us alone. We do, as always, if you've got an event coming up or you'd like to come on the show as a guest, please do email me at bunkextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by my co-host Mark Goldfinch, and our guest was Doug Chapman, who is the keeper of Dode. And he was telling us all about the lost village of Dode and the beautiful chapel that he owns there. And it was really interesting. It is in the Mepham area, but that's all he would tell us because it's lost. Exactly. But it's a very popular wedding venue, and they're beginning to use it a little bit for, you know, party venue and business events, but it is a small, quaint venue suitable for 40 people. But it's different, it's nice, and it's got a spiritual aspect to it as well, which is really nice. But that was a good show. So if you did miss it and you want to listen to it, go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab, and all of our previous shows are there. So we have got, as I say, quite a bit of action on the Twitter today. So let's do a couple of shout outs. And then what we're going to do is we're going to tell you about some of the amazing events that are coming up over the next couple of months. So we do have a tweet from the lovely Lisa Settle at Tailcare. She said to everybody, don't forget to listen in this morning. You'll hear wise words from the lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Thank you.
And that's at Tailcare Limited on the Twitter. We have Emily, I found your tweet first thing. Yay. Hi, everyone. She's had a good week here. Did my first Facebook Live question and answer last week. Eek. But really enjoyed it and glad I did it. Have a great show. So that was really good. Well done. Emily only started recently, isn't it?
I think it was a few months ago.
A few months ago, yeah. Started her business, yeah, as a PA. And she's been really out there and networking and meeting and really getting herself out there on social media. She's doing really well. So keep up the good work, Emily. And if you need any PA assistance, then she is at pinkspag_Emily on the Twitter. What else is there? Can you see anything else, Richard? We've got...
Can't sound a Spitfire, so they're looking forward to hearing about what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I think Chris has said that he did a shout out on his breakfast show as well this morning.
So, oh, cool. Yeah, so we could have some extra listeners today. We have two rather than one.
We've got Mike listening as well. Mike. He's just letting you know that he's listening.
So. Good morning, Mike. It's good to have you listening today.
I can confirm that no one from my family or any connections listen to me.
No.
In fact, they edit me out. I'm listening to you, but they'll edit me out. It's not on Twitter, but I did want to just say a big shout out to the Kent Cookery School, where I spent a bit of time with the rest of the intelligence team on Wednesday. Fantastic people there, great facilities. Thank you very much, James and Autumn, for giving me Chef of the Day. I was Chef of the Day.
You was you? Look at you.
It was because of sympathy more than anything else. you definitely, if you've got any corporate events, certainly get in touch with them. It's a great place to go and hold a corporate event, as well as have some sort of team building and good fun. They're contactable via kentcookeryschool.co.uk. Ask for James or Autumn, say my name, and I might get a bit of a discount if I come back again. Only joking, guys.
No, but it's brilliant. I love that. Something different for team building. You know, can take get go away from the norm and do something different. So yeah, that's a brilliant idea.
It was good.
So we've got some great events coming up. What we're going to do is we're going to give you a brief of some of the great events coming up in the next couple of months. So put them in the diary. And then what we'll do at the end of the show is we'll just recap. So where shall we start? Here it is. So next week. Okay, not a huge amount goes on in August, but there's a few little things trickling out. And this is one for the women in business out there. This is the Women in Business North Kent and Medway Open Evening, which is on Wednesday, the 1st of August, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at K Sports in Cobham. And basically, the Women in Business Networking Group are inviting all inspiring women in business along. It's a great open evening. They have got some great speakers, which are a mixture of members, and also they've got the wonderful Audrey Chapman. Audrey, where are you? We haven't seen you for ages. We need to have Audrey back on the show, because we love Audrey, and she's co-founder of Love Selling Academy, and she'll be talking about all things selling. It's going to be a great fun evening. It is free to attend, and they normally have a glass of bubbly or so for you to have, as well as meeting with other women in business and really making some great connections. So if you want to go to that, or you want to find out more about it, if you go to Eventbrite, look up Women in Business Open Evening and you can book onto that. So that's next Wednesday. Put it in your diaries. Ladies, go along. It's going to be a great event. What have you got over there, Richard?
Picking up the theme of business, as it is our bunker. The business diaries are on 13th of September, Thursday, 6:45, at the Innovation Centre in Chatham, where they're asking you to join them in an entertaining evening of storytelling, which each session will bring the storytellers that are ready and willing to pass on the lessons learned and the ups and downs of business, and to give a taste of life in their shoes. It's not a time for sort of pitching products. It's a time to hear about personal experiences of fellow businessmen and women. I'm sure their stories will be amusing, challenging, inspirational, and probably a little sad. But, you know, all of those lessons and all of those emotions associated with, you know, building a business or being in business will be definitely worthwhile hearing about. It's just £10. It comes with nibbles and drinks.
Always drinks. the only reason I go, Lisa, is for the bubbles. You know that, don't you?
And to book, just visit Eventbrite and put into the search box the business diaries.
It's a brilliant event, Tracy, and we've seen it before, yeah, isn't it? We love it so much. Both Tracy and I have spoken at it. In fact, I have a claim to flame. I claim to fame. I was the first ever speaker at the first ever business diaries. And I had tonsillitis as well.
It's truly inspirational.
It's fun. It's different. It's networking with a difference. It's more relaxed. It's more fun. And it's amazing what connections are made out of the back of it. It is really, really good. So check that out. Now, I have a new event that is coming up. You know, I don't like to keep myself busy. So I've created another event for the business community here in the southeast. Those who might have seen some advertising before it, just wanting to know, I have changed the date. So this is the speakers platform, be seen and be heard. And I'm now moving the date to the 20th of September. I was being adventurous, and I was going to put it at the end of August. But people informed me that they're still on holiday then. You know, not back in work mode just yet. So I'm going to wait till everyone's back in work mode and kids are back at school and everyone's got their minds right. But this is for speakers. If you're a speaker, if you'd like to practice your speaking skills, then the Speakers Platform is for you. It is a speaking competition as well as a great platform for you to practice your speaking skills. So it's going to be on Thursday, the 20th of September, from 6 till 10 at Fruitworks in Canterbury. And we want to hear your business journey, your highs and your lows, your successes and your failures. What's going to happen? So I keep on trying to find a way of making this sound easy to people understand. So this is it. We want people who want to be speakers or who are speakers to practice their skills and then possibly want to look at becoming professional speakers. And then what they need to do is book on for the evening. It's just £15 to join the evening. Then if you want to be considered to speak on the evening and enter the competition, you have to submit a snippet from your intended talk so we can get an idea and a flavour of what you're going to be talking about. So we have the theme for you there. It's the business journey, your highs and your lows of your business journey. But we want to know, you know, get an idea of what your talk's going to be with your profile picture and bio. You submit those to us. And then what's going to happen is I've got some judges lined up who are going to be looking at those and pick out four finalists. And those four finalists will actually speak on the evening. Now, the finalists won't be announced until the actual evening. So everyone comes along because you don't know who's going to be speaking. Then the finalists will speak, present their talk, and then the audience and the judges will vote for their favourite speaker. And they're just going to be an overall winner. And it's a competition, so this is what you're going to get. You're going to get one-to-one coaching from each of our judges, and you're going to get lots of tips and ideas and help on improving your speaking and how to earn money as a professional speaker. And you're also going to get a video of your talk of the night, which is going to be fully edited and ready to use as part of your speaker reel, with and a few extras thrown in. Our judges currently are, of course, the fabulous Paul Andrews, who is a former professional international speaker. So he's been there, done that, and he actually knows, you know, what you need to do and how it will work. So it'll be great advice from him. And one of our other speakers is Jane Farnham, who is the director of the Great British Speakers, who is a big speaking agency that works with a lot of presenters and professional speakers. So she's going to be judging, so that's going to be great. And we have got a couple of judges as well that I'm just confirming with now. So do contact me if you want to find out more. It's on the website, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk /what's-on. Have a look on that, all the details. But it's going to be great fun. So what else have you got over there, Richard?
I've got the ZF Social Media Academy.
ZC.
ZC. I didn't want to say ZZ.
ZZ.
From our good friend of the show, Zoe. And team out there, they're asking for you to come along and learn some quick wins and the latest news and updates on social media and how to use it. It's a very popular academy that is always sort of looking for innovating and creative ideas and new updates on that cutting edge information about social media and the online digital world and presence with the speaker Zoe. The takeaways are the latest invaluable information that you can use immediately for your online marketing. During the afternoon, you will learn how to plan a social media campaign, which is something that people tend to always really forget about when engaging on social media. Whether you've got any problems with your social media activity, there'll also be a sort of 15-minute Q&A session at the end of the meeting. Bring plenty of business cards, as there will be a great amount of opportunity to network. It does include tea and coffee. And our friend Zoe is a self-confessed social media geek and founder of ZC Social Media. She loves to share her information and knowledge with the rest of the world and happily jets across the globe spreading her expertise. I think I last saw some pictures in Vegas, I think they were.
She spoke in, where did she speak? In Utah, I think it was. They did an American road trip to get down there.
That's
fantastic. Yeah, no, the academies are great, so do check that out. We have one coming up Monday. Funnily enough, today is Friday, so yeah, Monday. It's with our great friend Peter Searle from the Business Doctors, and it's another free event. It's on Monday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone, run by Peter Searle, and he's running the event with Maidstone Borough Council, and it's when new staff start working for you, everything is usually fine, but as time wears on, you might become less and less impressed with their performance. In this 2-hour workshop, you'll find out how to overcome any fears you have of addressing the issue and get a number of tips on how to turn around the situation and prevent it from happening again. So it's about dealing with your employees. It's a free event. Do go to businessdoctors.co.uk and look for events on Eventbrite to book onto that. So I have just one more date for you to put in your diaries, and then we're going to get on speaking with Tracy. So this is the Networkers Networking event is back again in September, the 27th of September at Brands Hatch Place near Falkirk. The theme for this event is old and new, and I have three fantastic speakers who are going to be Paul Andrews, Brian Wakefield and Ben Abbott. So two old guys and a young guy. But they're going to be sharing their stories and experiences of networking, which I think sometimes you learn a lot more from people's stories and experiences than actually being told how you're supposed to do something. So early bird tickets are now available. So if you go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE and book on for your early bird tickets. We do love a bit of networking, don't we, Tracy?
We do. You're
yes. Getting out there.
We always do that one when I'm in Jamaica, so I'll just wave at you from a beach.
Well, you know, I have to put our schedules together now, so we keep avoiding you. Oh, stop going to Jamaica so often. We do love it when you go to Jamaica quite often. One last final quick shout out for the Sound of Spitfire, and Chris has asked us to give a shout out for Tips Service UK at Tip Services UK on the Twitter. Do you or your organisation struggle to keep up with the maintenance of your IP management system? Watch this space for a new service launched. So there's a little bit of shout out there for Chris and that. So Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. It's lovely in here, isn't it?
It's so cool.
It's so cool. We might stay here all day. Don't worry about Simon's show. We'll be guests on Simon's show as well, just so that we can have the cold air. We want to find out more about you. Now, you run your coaching business, which is You're a Career Coach.
Yes.
You do a huge amount of amazing work with a lot of different charities. The Princess Trust is the one that I know of. And then obviously there's Street Soccer and several others that you work
yes.
with.
Yes.
So we're going to now try to, in the very short period of time that we have, get all your details. We want bullet points.
Okay.
But we want to start because I know you started off in a corporate career.
I did, yes. And that was pretty much by accident. So I was actually making theatre costumes a long, long time ago.
Theatre costumes?
Theatre costumes, yes, for a theatre in Basildon, which is where I was living in Essex. And the council sold the theatre off. So it became privatised and we lost our jobs. And one of my neighbours had said, oh, I'm working for Tesco. Why don't you come in and work for Tesco in the evenings? It will fit in until you find another job. And I thought, yeah, that sounds okay. And 20 years later, I was still there. But I find that whatever you put into a job, you get out of it.
Yeah.
And I loved the customer interaction. I loved working with people. And I did so many different roles as well while I was there, and that really kept me going for the whole of those 20 years.
So literally, I mean, was you working in management and through that aspect, or
yeah,
was it shop level? And what level,
yeah.
You know, what type of jobs did you do?
So I started off shop level, so a few evenings a week, and that was mainly while the children were at school, because I'd got two small boys at that point. While the children were at school, because I still wanted to be around for them, and that fitted in. And I was very lucky that within, I think, 6 months to 9 months, I'd been asked to be a Twilight manager, which is very unusual. Normally, daytime managers would actually manage Twilight operation as well. So, yeah, I became a Twilight manager within a year of being there, and then did a variety of roles. So I was a compliance manager, which taught me so much about the business aspect. And I was working in a huge shop at the time, so Pitsy, which there were about 900 employees.
Wow.
So it was like covering everything, legalities of the shop. I was a warehouse manager, so I was one of the first female warehouse managers in the company.
Yeah,
and
good.
I was the first female warehouse manager of the whole of the warehouse because it was a huge operation, and I would say that's probably the job that I've enjoyed the most. Senior manager, so my area for expertise was non-food, and online, and I went round several different shops doing refits. So as the company was refitting the non-food business, now they're scaling down on the non-food business, so it's a complete turn. And then I ended up as a regional manager. So first of all, on the Kent, Essex and Sussex region. So I know every place here by the Tesco shop, which is very, very sad. Yeah. And I used to go around with Mike in the car and say, that's my Tesco, that's my Tesco. So, yeah, it can become quite boring.
Do you still shop in Tesco?
I do.
Controversial question.
I do sometimes, but not very often. I do try where possible to shop local. So, and I think that's very much where I am now. So redundancy just over three years ago, and it was a real turning point in my life. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I think I put so much into the job that became who I was. And Richard and I were talking earlier about, you know, that sort of corporate, that management, that leadership style that very much, I didn't know who I was anymore. And I did go back into a regional manager role and then just thought there's something changed in me. I'd moved as well. So I think at the time when I was being made redundant, I could have gone and worked in head office, but I'd just bought my own first little house down here, which I absolutely love. It's in Strood near Rochester. And I think everybody expected me to stay on with Tesco and to take another job. And I didn't. I decided that there was something saying to me, I've got to make a change. I've got to make a change in my life because I want something different and there's something more to me. And that's literally what I've been discovering over the last 3 years, that there is a lot more to me. And my experience has allowed me to give back to others. So that's part of the volunteering that I do in the community, but also my business is very much about supporting others in the community. Mm. So, yeah, 3 years ago, redundancy. I did then go back into another regional manager role, decided on the 31st of December that this really wasn't for me. So this was 2 years ago when I was still working at 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve when everybody else was out partying.
You went, oh, hang on a minute, that's not quite right.
Yeah, I so easily slipped back into those, you know, 13, 14-hour days. Mm, and although I do that now, I do it because I'm creating and I'm doing something for myself and the business. At that point, I was a mentor for the Princess Trust. So I'd met a very influential man in my life called Kevin. So I think you've met Kevin, haven't you, Amanda? So I know Paul definitely has a Kevin in.
I think I have. Yeah.
The last time I was here, and we spoke about the journeys of some of our young people and how we support them. But meeting Kevin was very influential in my life because I think volunteering allowed me to see my value. Up until that point, I didn't see my value. I didn't see what I'd got to give back and what I was capable of. And that very much over the last couple of years through volunteering has shown me the value that I've got and how I can help others through my experience as well.
So I guess it helped you find yourself, really, wasn't it? And discover something about yourself.
Yes, it helped me definitely to discover things about myself. And you know, there have been other pivotal moments as well in the last couple of years. But I think that was very much the start of just seeing who I was and what I wanted to do and what, you know, the attributes I've got that before I'd always said, oh, that's my job, or I'd deflected or deferred. And actually, I've recognised that I have got things that I'm very proud of. And that's very much what I help other people to see, is that, you know, we've all got qualities that are brilliant. We're all diverse. We're all different. And let's be proud of who we are.
Mm. So then what led you to start with the coaching? What was it? Just to say, from the mentoring that sort of guided you, or
actually, I think it was before that. So one of my friends who still works for Tesco's, Roberta. Hello, Roberta, I love you. She had decided that she was going to go on a 2-day workshop, and it was to find out about coaching. And I'd said to her, you know, I don't need to do that. I really don't want to go. And she persuaded me, because she's very, very good at persuading. So that's one of her strengths. She persuaded me to go along. And she actually didn't do anything further with it, but I just thought, this is something that I can do. It's what I've been doing without realising it for the whole of my corporate career, and that was very much about supporting people to make their own decisions rather than telling people what to do. My journey started from there, but I wasn't sure how I wanted to support people, first of all. So because of my business background, I thought that it might have been in business mentoring. But when I dug deep and just thought, what did I really enjoy about those 20 years with Tesco? And that was very much about drawing out the strengths of people, helping them to aspire to different things, helping them to see what they were great at. And that's why I decided to pretty much go on the journey that I'm on now.
So it's taken you, has it changed a lot? Has it been quite a windy journey, or is
yes.
it just, yeah?
Yes. So it has evolved immensely. So I still do employability and career coaching. So I love helping people with CVs and interview skills. And that's a staple part of my job, and particularly with young people, also with corporate. So I've got a lovely lady who's a new client at the moment who I'm helping with her CV. It did start off very much with that. And I think through the Prince's Trust as well, and Kevin, he challenged me to write a workshop, which I'd never done before, delivered lots of them in Tesco, but never written anything, any of my own material. So I did, and I gifted that to the Prince's Trust and delivered it to a team program. And from there, I thought, I can do this. I can bring back my creative side. So I feel that part of my creativity had been lost, and it is very, very much a core strength of mine, not just creativity in terms of making things, but creativity of thinking, because I think creativity applies to anything. You know, it can apply to security, it can apply to what you're doing, it can apply to mathematics, science, anything.
Yeah.
So that, again, has evolved to, I was asked by, so I do some work with Octavo as well, and they've got a program called Families on Your Doorstep, which works with people in the local community, their residents, and they put on workshops. And lovely Emma, hi Emma, she asked me if, because of my experiences, if I would write something called, it was around being your best self. So that's how this, I would now call it probably my signature set of workshops evolved, which is very much, again, around understanding where you are in your life at the moment, how you can move forward, whether you want to move forward or not, because sometimes people do find it incredibly challenging. That I think has, again, it's been a pivotal point for me in terms of, using my experience and using my coping techniques to support others. And there have been some amazing transformations. So in the last set of workshops, there's a case study being written on one of the ladies, because within the 6 weeks, her transformation has been just inspirational. She's inspired me, she's inspired the rest of the group, and she's just an amazing lady. And this is somebody who didn't think she'd got any value. And that is the most beautiful part of my job, is seeing people blossom and realising that they do have value.
So is that mainly, so basically you work with people and you help coach them to find a new career, follow a new career path, everything from obviously making sure they've got a good CV and they're presenting themselves properly, obviously, with what they want to do.
Yeah. So I suppose there's a couple of sides to what I do. So there's very much the career coaching, CV intensive workshops, or intensive one-to-one sessions, and the interview intensive one-to-one sessions. And then there are the workshops, so the Be Your Best Self. So that is the series of six workshops that I've written. So I'm on my fourth lot of those now for Families on Our Doorstep. So they keep asking me to go back and deliver those. And what happens is that, and again, we were speaking about this earlier, weren't we, that when one person changes the way that they feel about themselves, that cascades to the rest of the family.
Yeah.
It cascades to the people that they work with, that they come into contact with. So it doesn't have an impact just on that one person's life. It has an impact on everybody around them. I've recently started doing the workshops for Talent Match as well. So that's part of the Prince's Trust. And I've had some amazing feedback. So I'd had my evaluation with Andrew Dennis, hello again, Andrew. Lots of hellos this morning. Yesterday, and I had some amazing mentor feedback, and for young people who've been referred to the course. So some very, very good outcomes for them. Two young people have got jobs. Because when you look at yourself and face some of the challenges that you may have and overcome them and think, rather than I can't, I can, that then gets that out of the way, and it allows that employability aspect to just become open to you. So two young people have had that, you know, they've changed their mindset from I can't and I'm not good enough to I can, and yes, I'm proud and I'm going to prove that I can do this. And again, that's amazing to see.
It's fantastic. Now, we have got lots more to cover, but we are going to have a quick musical interlude and then we're going to come back. So we have been listening to Tracy's story, how she's come from corporate, she worked for Tesco's for 20 years in all sorts of roles up in management, and to how she got made redundant. It's very much a story I hear often here. Yeah. People got made redundant, and that's what is their change that kicks them into doing their
liberation.
Own business. Which is, sometimes you need something to disrupt that chain, don't you? Or what do you call it, Paul? Where's Paul when you need him? disruption in something or other. Message me, Paul. What is it? The disruption. But it's that disruption that happens, which then changes your course and then obviously changes your career. So we have been listening to Tracy's story. We're going to come back after the break to listen more to her story. And we've also been covering some events. So you are listening to the Business Bunk Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. It is Friday, the 27th of July. Yes, we know it's hot out there. Get over it. We are also having the studio today my fabulous security expert co-host. I love that. I mean, I look all professional. My security expert co-host, Richard Bell. And we're going to be hearing from Richard a little bit later on fishing. And he doesn't mean with poles
fishing
and bait.
Fishing Furnace Friday.
Fishing. Ah, you've been working on that one, haven't you?
I was listening, obviously, Tracy.
We'll be back right after this.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get to this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, I think he's all right.
Simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. I'm joined in the studio today. My co-host is our security expert, Richard Bell from Attend Intelligence. Thank you for being here again, Richard.
It's my pleasure.
And our guest is the fabulous Tracy Ferguson, and Tracy Ferguson Coaching, who's a career coach. And we have just... Oh, sorry, I've just got the message from Paul. It's disruption. Disruption what, though, Paul? Disruption, but we decided was what it was, wasn't it? Disruption interface, I think is
sounds
the word.
Good.
We're going to go with that anyway. That's my new saying. Tracy is, we've been learning about Tracy's career and how she went from corporate to now running her own business, and she helps people, and she's a career coach. So she's helping people to have their confidence and to go out there and get the career they want. Basically, whether it be running their own business, I guess, or within the corporate world,
yes,
and
yeah,
a variety of things. So Chris has come back with lots of answers to my, I was trying to work out, Paul has a saying, when you make a change, when something happens and dramatically and changes, and Chris said, is it disruptive change, disruptive innovation? But it's disruptive interface. It's like when your computer isn't working and you have to do something dramatic to make it work again, so you hit it or unplug it. So that's what you have to do with your life. You have to have this disruptive interface that happens. So you've been saying, obviously, you work with a lot of trusts and charities as well.
Yes.
So the Princess Trust and that. So
and Street Soccer Foundation.
And Street Soccer Foundation, as well. So I guess is a lot of what you're doing is you're coaching and you're working with people with helping them get their confidence back and see their strengths and things like that.
Yes. So it is very much about, I do take a strengths-based approach, and I know that definitely in the corporate world, that is something that is, I think, just starting to come more to the fore. And I've got some facts and figures.
Ooh, look, old Paul would love you.
Oh, yes. It is actually quite an old study, but it was a massive study. So it's the Corporate Leadership Council, and it was in 2002. So they studied 19,000 employees across 34 organisations in 19 countries. And that found that the where the emphasis in appraisals was on people's strengths and what they were great at, that was linked to a 36.4 improvement in performance. Whereas if, like in most businesses, we always talk about what we're not good at, and you know, that is the focus. And in schools as well, you know, it's always about what we need to improve on. So that was linked to a 26.8% decline in performance. And although it's quite an old study, I think that is really, for me, where I come from, is that if we talk to people about their strengths and get them to recognise their strengths, first of all, and what they're great at, not everybody has got the same strengths. It's back to that, it's a Stephen Covey quote that strength lies in differences, not in people being the same. And that's where different people come together with different strengths, and that's how teams and collaborations are built. But it's about recognising that we can't be good at everything, we don't need to be good at everything, but what we do need to do is recognise what we are great at, what strengths we bring to the table, and how we can really make the most of those in our lives, and celebrating kids' strengths as well. So I know I sort of showed you, I know you can't see them, this is a radio.
She's very visual today. She's brought some cards in that are very visual for us on the radio, so we'll describe them.
I thought they were just for me.
Yeah, well they are.
And I suppose part of why... I'm a very visual person. I could not sit in a lecture room and listen to somebody talking for however long. I need lots of animation, lots of getting up, moving around. So the workshops that I do are very interactive. And I couldn't find anything when I wanted to do a strengths exercise with people that would help support that in terms of visual. So I made, it's on the back of my business cards, but I made up some, there's probably about 60 strengths there, that towards the end of the workshops, when I'm working with people, we do an exercise that is a team build as well. So people will pick out their top five strengths and then articulate what it is. So what would I see when they are performing that strength? So what would I see? What would I hear? What would they be doing? Some people find that incredibly difficult to even come up with one strength, let alone five. But then what is really lovely is that when I've been working with these people for 5 or 6 weeks, the people who are working with them then choose one or two strengths for each other. And that is amazing, because when you're receiving, because it's constructive feedback, so when you're receiving that from somebody else, again, people who are not used to talking about their strengths do find that a challenge, but it's a real, I just find it really lovely, and to be able to celebrate not only your own strengths, but the strengths that people see in you as well, because we forget about them, we forget what our strengths are, and we don't see what others see in us as well. So
I guess that's the thing though, isn't it? We're always I think guilty of this to a certain extent, is we'll always look at our bad points rather than our good points first. It's like, yeah, oh, I didn't do this, yeah, or that didn't work,
easier,
or because it's easy. And one of the things I've read or learnt, or probably Paul told me, was that negative thoughts are easier for to react to than positive ones. Yes. That's why we always go to the negative first, but then to the positive.
And I don't know whether that's, Paul will know, it's something to do with our makeup, you know, the sort of fight or flight and caveman syndrome. So literally we had to look at all of the negatives in order to survive.
It's probably ingrained in us as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you mentioned about schooling, you know, when you have those, you know, when you have those sort of parent meetings, that, you know, you're always sitting there going, oh, I hope I'm not going to be in trouble. And actually you're quite surprised when, you know, mum or dad turns around and goes, that was a good report. Whereas you're automatically thinking about all of that negative aspect.
Yeah. And even though it's good. So I remember in my reviews, I was always able to have about 20 things that I needed to improve on, and maybe one or two that I thought, oh, yeah, I'm okay. But normally that I would say that's just my job. And it is about recognising that now actually I went above and beyond my job, and what I did when I look back, and I look back at my CV, which I didn't have a CV until I was 51 actually,
last year then.
So it was at the time of my redundancy, so that was the first time that I'd written a CV. I got some help with that from a coach, and that for me was probably one of the first points when I thought, God, you know, did I really do that? Did I really do some of those things? And yes, actually, I did.
And it's about that conditioning, because, you know, what I know, and I know many people that work in the retail sector, that is a really interesting space to work in. And it is more than just, you know, putting bread to shelves.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you look at that as a corporate organisation, and there are other available, but let's choose Tesco's.
Just in case you're listening.
You know, the whole logistic plan, the whole marketing, you know, it's an organisation, it's a corporate organisation. It's more than just the sort of the food in the shops now, particularly going online and all those stuff.
Yeah.
And you pick up all of those skills. And if you sort of the undertone of that is, if you've got really good customer contact and understand what the customer needs and the client is, and that customer focus, customer experience, then that's transferable into any organisation.
Yeah, and I would say as well that as an organisation, Tesco gave me so many opportunities and so many skills that I'm using now, and that I will continue to use. You know, as Richard just said, all of those transferable skills. Mm.
I worked in Safeway, so they don't exist anymore.
No, that's a good thing or not. We have Chris Hyde has just tweeted. He says, do you ever use the Johara window model?
Sometimes, yes.
I'm glad you know what that is, because I'm like, whoosh,
yeah, yeah.
What is the Johara window model?
So,
can it be quickly described?
what I prefer to use is stop, start, continue, and do more. So it's very much the same. So it's shaped like a little window, and for me, it's using things that with the people that I'm working with, that it's got to be something that can be very visual. It's got to be something that they can understand in very, very plain language. So, so stop, start, continue, and do more. And I normally like draw like little traffic lights as well, or something like that, to make it a little bit more visual for them. So there's lots of different models that I'll be using, because it's very much. So that's like from a teaching background, and actually I've been, you've probably seen some of my tweets, so I did a practical teaching assessment, because I'm doing a teaching adults qualification as well, and so there's lots of theory behind.
And I guess also it depends on who you're working with, because everybody's different, so one method would work with one person or one group of people, but wouldn't necessarily work with somebody else, because we all learn differently, we always absorb differently. So that's great. Paul has finally got to the end of my quiz. It's program interrupt.
Oh, yes.
It was close. What was that disruption interface? I don't know where I got that from. I just made up a new word. But basically, just, yeah, disrupt your life and get change. Yeah. there's so many different types of people that you work with. And I guess you have a really great success rate with the people that come through your courses and that you work with.
Yes. So, so that, did you see that pause there?
Yes.
So that is still my sort of me wanting to say yes, but it's just my job.
Yes, but yeah.
But yeah, actually, so rather than but, use yes. and. Yes, there have been some really great successes, and you know, it's a lot of the stuff I do is confidential, so I can't talk about it. But I do like working with some people who have had very challenging backgrounds, because I've had fairly checkered life myself in terms of some of the things that I've gone through, and I'm not going to go into that now, but you've heard part of my story on the business diary.
Yes, I have, yeah.
And I just am able to connect with people, and I think that was part of in my corporate career as well. I could connect with people from, you know, the SD, the store director, to the store managers, to the people on the shop floor. And I think that again is one of my strengths, is that it doesn't matter who it is, I can talk to them, and I'll find a level that I can talk to them on. And I think that's really important. And it's also about that just being able to empathise with them as well, and to, you won't always know everything they've gone through, but you can certainly have an understanding and be compassionate as well, and not judge.
No, it's just, and I'm just in awe of just like the amazing people person that you are, and just the fact that you work so well with so many people, and the amount of people that you help. And I guess this is your business, you're coaching, but you're just there, you're just helping people, and helping them with their confidence for their careers. But then, as you say, how that changes, it's not just about career coaching, is it, as well, though? It's about their confidence coaching and the positive mindset, and just helping them, which then helps their family and the people around them go, you know, actually, there is something different in life. And
I think as well, so just on the back of that, so the volunteering work that I do, so with the Prince's Trust, you know, there are some young people in our local community who haven't had a great start. And if we can help and support them to have a better outcome, then, you know, that part of my job is done. I really enjoy that. I also, with Optibo and Families on Our Doorstep, so you'll know that every Friday I have to listen to this show on replay because I help support an adult literacy class. And that, we don't realise just how lucky we are to be able to do something as simple as reading and writing. We take things like that for granted. And again, the difference that it makes in people's lives when they can read a letter that comes through the door, or read a story to their grandchildren, or read a newspaper, is amazing. And the transition as well that we see with people on that is just absolutely amazing. I love that.
It's fantastic. Well, Tracy, we could listen to you all day, literally. You've got so much amazing stuff to share, but we are speedily running to the end of the show. So please give us a quick shout out so how people can get in touch with you and where they can find you.
Okay, so on Twitter, it's Tazi, TAZI64, and for my website, it's www.tracyfergusoncoaching.com, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Tracy Ferguson.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We will have you back on again at a later date so we can get more of the story and the people that you work with. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
We have had also Lisa Settle has tweeted in saying that she's listening and totally recognises how students have a block when looking for their positives. So, yeah, a lot of people, I think, will sort of agree with you and go, yeah, actually, that's so right. Yeah. So it's brilliant. Richard.
Yes.
We were talking about fishing earlier. So I was going to get ready for, you know, talking about different types of bait and stuff like that. I had to make the joke. I'm sorry, I had to make the joke. It's just,
it's all right.
And it's like, oh, God.
I took the hook. we're clearly sort of running out of a bit of time today. But what I will do is, in more detail, share. We'll update the blog and go through in more detail, you know, how to prevent yourself and your organisation being a target or a victim of phishing and the associated frauds and disruptive elements associated with that. I just want to pick up on what Tracy was saying, is because we spoke about it a lot of times, and, you know, previous to air and otherwise, is that security is very simple, and actually it absolutely starts with people. And it's about giving them the confidence to be able to make the decisions, it's the understanding, it's to create the culture. And a lot of how you prevent phishing attacks is about the behaviour of your people and yourself. And, you know, understanding and having some confidence in yourself and what comes into your inbox, I think there's some real sort of correlation to it. But people should know that most cyber attacks do happen via what is referred to as phishing scams.
So what is, just can you briefly describe what a phishing scam is?
A phishing scam is, there's phishing, there's mishing, there's tishing, there's loads of other different things. But phishing in essence, in very, very simple terms, is an email that purports to be from a well-known or trusted partner or organisation that you would be used to. And its sole aim is for you to be drawn into, to get onto the hook, and provide all of your personal or important information via clicking on a link or other way of how they push the payload. So, example, many listeners may already see, but in the press there's quite a lot of emails that purport to come from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs Agency. Well, of course, the moment that comes into your inbox, that starts to spin your head and spin your plates around whether you're sort of breaching any of the tax regulations and all those type of things. And they are trying to encourage you to put in company information or personal information that they can use against you to commit acts of fraud or otherwise. So there are very simple things you can put in place to prevent that. But largely it's around trying to develop the confidence to be able to recognise what a bad email looks like. What I would always say is just think before you click on any links contained within emails. Even if they look like they're from your bank or a trusted partner or even a friend, you don't know whether they've actually sent them and whether they're truthful in nature. There are various sort of products or sort of tools that are free that you can add to them. Anti-phishing, verifying a securities the security of a site, so look for that padlock in the browser, whichever search engine or browser that you use. So always verify that if you're putting in your bank details to something, make sure that that's got a padlock. And equally, if you click onto a link that's contained within an email, make sure that you know where that's going. Probably too late by that stage, but sure.
I guess the thing is it best not to click on a link anyway in an email and just go direct to the website and in that way? Because if anybody's trying to get hold of you or anything's happening within I guess a lot of it is sometimes is it bank accounts and things like that, that they all click on this link to update your security and that type of thing.
Yeah, from a professional business perspective, HMRC and other trusted organisations and organisations that you would work for tend not to do business and ask for information via email. They just don't. There's other mechanics that go around that. So go back to source. Ask if that's a truthful or you've received that email. Many large organisations now do offer sort of that support or that contact around trying to verify emails, particularly in government organisations. But it's just trying to really understand what is sat in front of you, and there are some particular sort of telltale signs around spelling mistakes and formatting. And Tesco's.com is actually Tesco's that's spelt with a 3, but your eye is naturally drawn to understanding it being Tesco. They've done well today, haven't they, Tesco?
Yeah, get several plugs today, Tesco.
So it's just being acutely aware of those sort of changes. Make sure that you check your online accounts regularly. That's both in social media and any other sort of banking accounts. Please do not use the same passwords and username for all of that across the board, because generally they will be breached somewhere and that could be used against you. Make sure that you keep your internet browser and firewalls and pop-up activities all up to date. Never, ever, ever give out personal information. Always go back to source. Always go and try and validate it and use the appropriate antivirus software. I will talk all about that in our next blog that will probably be posted over the weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah, so that's the thing. Rich is here to give us some up to date of what's going on and what to look out for. Be aware, people. So there will be a blog going with this article today, which will be on the Biz Radio website over the weekend. So check that out. Thank you very much again, our security expert. And we have now come to the end of the show. Blimey, there it goes again. It's flying by. On next week's show, I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guest is Peter Allen from Beresford's Accountants. So please do tune in for that. Paul has got some more great guests on his show on Tuesday from 1 till 3. Check him out on Tuesday, and we will be back next week. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.